This is Bob, Groz, and Tom.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio and streaming nationwide on the 710 Sports app and 710sports.com.
Final hour of Bob, Groz, and Tom. We are live at the VMAC. Funny, talking to Ashley during the break about a movie that came out a couple of decades ago. I asked her, did it do well? Was it a big movie? Yeah, it was cute.
Well, it was a... When it came out, I was a kid. I don't know, like, the ratings. I loved it. I watched it maybe, like, once a week.
You didn't look at the box office figures when you were 5 years old? I bet you weren't even that old when it came out.
I mean, I was probably like 4 or 5.
We're talking about The Little Rascals, which came out in probably, what, 1994?
I don't even remember it being out.
Something like
Let
that.
Let me look it up.
Ashley was quoting Buckwheat during the break, which I was thrilled with.
I thought there was a movie specifically on him that I missed, but that's not the case.
94, I was 3 years old.
There 1994, jeez.
You think Pete Carroll will quote Buckwheat today?
I hope so.
I want to say he doesn't do it and disappoints everybody. We are out here. We talked with Bradley McDougal earlier in the program. We're going to play that for people that missed it, or what do you think?
No.
All right.
We actually have too many people to get to today.
Do we?
Yeah, so they'll have to get that on.
What are we
going to
eavesdrop on?
We're going to hear from Justin Britt and or Tyler Lockett, Ashley, I believe.
Correct.
Okay, good.
All right, so that'll be coming up in the eavesdrop segment. But Pete Carroll out there speaking with the media. This is the final day of minicamp, so these guys have some time to themselves before training camp starts. Here's a bit of what Pete had to say.
Today, we wrap it up. Really just more on the positive side. We had a very, very good offseason to point, and really fired up about everything that's going on. And I'm concerned about the 6 weeks coming up and that the guys do a really good job taking care of themselves and coming back stronger and faster. They're in good shape right now. We'd be ready to go into camp, and we'd be in good shape. But this is a concern. I think all the coaches probably are concerned around the league that, you know, what happens during these 6 weeks. But our guys are going to compete to do a good job and take care of it. And with really good leadership, they'll pull that off. So we'll come back and let it rip. A lot of opportunity, a lot of competitive spots here, and which is exactly how we like it. You can tell the players feel it. You know, like I think I've said that a couple times to you guys, that you can sense it from them. So we did learn a lot too. I feel like we got a lot of information from our guys. I think really the coordinators did a good job of putting guys in situations so we could see them and get a feel. So it's not like we got to start all over again in camp and figure out who's who. I think we can pick up from where we left off and see if we can progress some guys and create some roles and give some guys some opportunities to contribute in their unique way. So we'll see how that goes.
Overall, what stood out to us about
these offseason? I think that was the consistency and the attitude that was, you know, throughout. It was really the effort was excellent and upbeat, positive, supportive, accepting of one another, learning new guys. The older guys made it really comfortable for the new guys to fit in, which is just facilitates the process, and I think we saw the benefit of that. That's why we feel like we have a good sense for guys now. We've come quite a ways in the short time that we have. So, but I think it's the overall energy really that stands out the most.
What you seen? How has Shaquille handled jumping across the left side?
No problem. Nothing. There's nothing. It hasn't been an issue at all.
Is there a key for these 6 weeks? I mean, balance, family, stay in shape. I mean, is it?
There's a big key. The key is to stay consistent through your workouts and don't rest too long. You know, they don't need a vacation right now. They need a little break from the push that we've been in right here. But like our guys, you know, shared with our other guys, you know, a few days and let's get back at it, you know. And it's too important that we stay on task. They've worked so hard to get where they are. You don't want to have to go back down conditioning-wise and then work it back up. They've just invested too much at this point. So finding a consistent regimen and having a good plan and sticking with it and being smart about it.
So we saw a lot of the kicking today. How has that Sebastian and Justin or Jason?
Well, it's going to be real competitive. Seabass missed a couple days. We're just getting through the, you know, coming back and in that it gave him some it gave Jay a chance to get some extra kicks in there, you know, so that was good for him. But when they're out here battling, they're in it, you know, and the punters too. Now they're battling every session that we go. It's been competitive. We've been keeping score and keeping track of everything, so we have really good info to figure it out in time. We don't have to hurry to make these decisions at all. We're blessed to have real experience at both spots, and so we'll see how the young guys do and see if they can, you know, they can make a run at it.
What have you been able to see out of Shakim in the time you've had him here?
What was really, I just talked to him just coming off the field. What was really positive was how he finished up the off season. Moving back into inside spot, you know, for him was new, and he had a lot to learn, a lot to pick up. And I think just in the process of it, in a guy that wants to do really right and do things, you know, like just as the coaches are coaching him up, you know, we didn't see him really cut loose until the last, really in this camp, he really felt comfortable and started flying around, and you could see how fast he is and the acceleration that he has. It's really unique. It just jumped off the film. I think we'll see it again in today's practice, but the first 2 days were a change, which was really positive, you know, because I didn't want to see him be stoved up too long where he couldn't, you know, get comfortable and so he could start moving and flying, and he did it. Same thing happened with Mingo too. Both those guys showed that, you know, after being here a while, they need to get comfortable, and all of a sudden you start to see that the burst and the speed that they bring that's been, you know, part of their makeup.
How have you seen the group of draft picks? What have you seen from them? Have you seen anybody jump off the field to you so far?
Well, they're really, there's nothing but solid stuff here. Rashad really was impressive throughout. He's picked up a ton of stuff. Chad was just talking about the pass protection stuff that he looks so comfortable with here after the time he's been here. That was something that was new for him and a demanding part of the game. We don't have any hesitation he's going to be fine in that area. He's a really good route runner and a good catcher. Very smooth, has excellent feet. Stayed in great shape throughout all of the time we had him. He reported well into shape, and didn't have to go back and forth and dip. He came in about 230, you know, and kind of maintained that weight throughout. And then Rashim has been impressive. You know, just moving right through the guys. You know, they've just, it's been a good group so far, and we're off and running with them. Will Disley, with what we wanted to see in him, we saw everything we could see. He needs to be in pads because he's a line of scrimmage guy that can help us. He's weight 270 something, you know, playing tight end. We wanted to get big and strong there, and he was the guy we hoped to get. We got him, and he looks the part. So, you know, so you go right through the class. That's what it feels like. We talked about Shakim. Michael Dixon did a nice job too, kicking the ball. He's up. He's going to be in the competition of it. So I'm just fired up about the whole group.
Tyler spoke before you here. Just how much excitement from where he was last year to this point?
Yeah, it's real positive, really positive. For, you know, if you guys have watched him, and he's just such a wonderful kid on your team, and just been a spirit about him, you know, in his first year about wanting to compete and do extra stuff and always at it. And then last year he couldn't do that. You know, he just couldn't. He wasn't able to. He was rehabbing and just barely getting on the practice field for the most part. And now he's back, freed up, and ready to go again. And so you see all that great spirit that he, and the energy that he generates. It's wonderful to see because he's such a great kid. And he's really excited about getting back and, you know, digging in on returns and stuff and all that, as well as the receiver stuff. He and Russ really have a great understanding too, and he knows what we're doing, and also he's a real positive part of our team.
We've seen many this offseason, guys who aren't here anymore, but for the veterans who are here, the leaders, you know, Bobby, KJ, Russell, Doug, whoever, how is it different this year for them, and how are they handling this?
Those guys, and you have to include Dwayne in that too. Dwayne has just stepped into a role of, you know, he's just kind of an automatic guy that has charisma and a way about him that the guys listen to him. I mean, he's remarkably obvious, you know. They haven't skipped a beat at all. You know, those guys have been the voices. They've been the leaders. They've been part of this leadership group for years. And so nothing changed. You know, I other than maybe they're just more apparent, you know, and their strength is more apparent. You guys listened to KJ yesterday. I mean, what more could you ask from a guy than his mentality, his approach to the game, and how he's trying to work to get better, and all that, you know, that he stands for. I mean, that just is so valuable to a team, and he's one of the, you know, the guys that have, a number of guys, the guys you mentioned, and other guys as well, that really are giving us something special. And plus, we're seeing the emergence too of Jaron Reed. You know, he's coming alive, and he's going to be a factor. You can see it. Bradley McDougal as well. You guys, again, you heard from him. I think today, you know, a remarkable kid. So leadership is not an issue, not one bit.
Justin Britt said that Solari sort of reintroduced the line to their old identity. How does that look to you?
Yeah, well, we're a little different, you know, and I'm not going to talk a lot about that, but you'll see as we go. But we're a little different, and it's called for, you know, Mike, you know, has his background, he's brought to these guys, and he is he's a heck of a salesman. He's got him turned already into the stuff that we're doing and how he speaks in his language and technically how we're doing it. And it's changed the dynamic somewhat. There's a different variety of stuff that we're doing, and the guys are really excited about it. So not going in any deeper, but it's there already is a relationship, and there's already a sense, and they already have their sights set on what they want to do and how they want to do it. And I think Justin and as well as Dwayne have given us really solid leadership, you know, and kind of voice and all that. So, like, we just got to get really good and work really hard. And as well as there's going to be competition, too. There's going to be guys battling for spots. So that's all we could ask for in this group. We're coming back feeling more experienced than we've been and with really solid leadership. And it's competitive. And as soon as George gets back, we're going to be healthy, too. So, and we really didn't get to see a lot, a full load from Odiamo. Reese is going to be competitively involved with everything that goes as soon as he's free to practice on a full goal basis. He's practicing half the stuff right now, and he's looked really good. So, I mean, it's just it's a really positive air about them, and I'm really fired up about it.
Brandon Marshall, where is he at physically rehab?
We're just making sure that we don't have a setback on a hamstring that's recovering. We talked about it today. You know, he's got a solid 6 weeks. He'll be well. It's going to be. We need to do a really good job of making sure as we introduce him back into our tempo and speed and all that we don't overdo it early in the excitement to see what he can do and all. He brings a real savvy and experience, and that we're anxious to see how it fits. You know, it's going to be another guy into the competition that brings some uniqueness to us. Very big statured kid, you know, different than some of the other guys. He's like Tanner, so we'll see how that fits.
Does Willie Beavers kind of factor into the offensive line?
Willie's done really well. Yeah, he's done really well. He's playing guard and tackle. He hasn't missed a beat. He's taken a ton of reps. I know Mike feels confident, and in BC, those guys, they're confident that he can factor in. So he's part of that competitiveness, you know, and guys trying to make that 7 and 8 spot, you know, and if not more. And he's done a nice job.
What are you still wondering about the veteran camps? Are you still curious to see?
Well, we have to make the this overall transition into the whole thing about the rules, you know. We got some rule situations that really brings a different dimension to camp. It's not, like I've said, it's not so different for us in style and all that, but we still have to make it, and we have to hear from the officiating crews and, you know, where they are and how they're going to gauge stuff, and we're all kind of learning together. I'm particularly excited about this, you know, this new phase because we have kind of believed in the approach and all, but we still have to learn a lot and we still have to adapt, and so I think that's an unknown for everybody until we get back at it.
At this point, from a health standpoint, is there anybody you think may be ready for the start camp for you, or you think you've been pretty well ready to go?
Well, from all the guys that are here that we know of, we project that everybody will be starting camp with us. Maybe on different levels of activity, but we think everybody's going to be back and ready to go. It looks like that. Mo Alexander's an interesting kid for us to see. We haven't seen anything from him yet on the field, so that'll be one of the guys. Of course, George is a big deal, too, to see how he get back out there. Brandon will be important. So, but it looks like everybody should have a chance to be healthy. We're counting on that, and then we may be limited as we enter the activity level for those guys. Deion's on schedule for that as well. If there's somebody else, ask.
What's Alexander been dealing with?
He's got a shoulder. Yeah, he has surgery, and he's just doing the normal rehab for it. Everything's going great, but he's gonna be an interesting part to the puzzle here when he gets back.
You haven't heard anything more from Burrell the last couple of days?
No, you know, we've been kind of mired in camp. Haven't heard a thing yet.
Do you expect to do any talking on that front before camp, which I just tabled?
The our guys are working. Yeah, we're at work. You know, so that they're busy.
We're still waiting on Cam.
Yeah, we're still waiting. Sorry, we don't have any update for you.
Bradley yesterday kind of talked about some of the bigger names in the team not here anymore. Guys well stuck to the come household names along, right? Do you get a sense of that from some of the other guys?
Yeah. No, I don't know that anybody. I haven't heard anybody say I'm looking forward to becoming a household name, but it makes sense. You know, there's opportunity. That's really part of it. It's not just like the position for am I going to be the first team guy, but it's opportunity to you know, have an impact and to have a place on the team that's notable and that we're counting on. And those roles, you know, are somewhat there to be filled, and we'll see how that goes. Like I said, the leadership is in great shape, but there's just opportunities for guys, you know, and it could be Amara, it could be David, you know, those guys with their really chance coming back for their first really good look at this thing. We're in from a competitive approach, and there's guys across the board. So it's going to be exciting. Let me see Shamar first. Shamar has made an impression about his work ethic, even though he's not on the field, his way he studies, the way he communicates, the way he's helped younger guys learn and grow, and he's in on everything. He has not, you know, distanced himself at all, even though he hasn't been able to get on the field. So he's made really good first impressions. Tom has been right in the middle of everything, and I wish we would have found him years ago. He's a great competitor. He's got a tough mentality. He cares tremendously. He's a great worker. I mean, he's exactly the kind of guy that we like having on the team. So, you know, you guys might not realize this, but guys and girls, but, you know, Tom and Shamar played a lot of football last year on a really good defensive line with a good, you know, a good package of stuff that they do. And we just kind of got those guys to come over here. And so I'm very confident in what those guys are bringing. I mean, I studied the heck out of it. I've seen everything that they've done the last couple of years, and I know what we're getting. And this worked out really very well for us. And I'm thrilled about those guys. And, of course, we haven't seen Shamar, but Shamar's going to be big and play big like we'd like those guys inside. And he'll, if everything comes back as we expect, he'll have a big role for us. So it's really good. It's great for our depth.
There you go. A bit of what Pete Carroll had to say to the media earlier, the thing that most people, I think, were probably curious about, Earl Thomas saying, yeah, haven't really talked to him. We've been mired in training camp stuff or mini camp stuff.
Yeah, and conversely, I don't know if he went out of his way, but when he was talking about KJ Wright, the quote was, what more could you ask from a guy? And it seemed like he was referring to what KJ said yesterday. His quotes were, why am I here? Why am I not holding out? I just want to control what I can control. I want to get better in the offseason. I believe spring ball is the way to improve yourself, et cetera, et cetera. And he says, and that's what I'm going to do. I think that Pete's just referring to him being a player's player, being present.
Being a veteran.
Yeah. I'm not trying to say it's a shot at Earl, but look, we all know what the deal is. With Earl not being here, we all know that that's a big topic. Pete knows that. KJ comes out and says, like, I'm all business. Pete points to that and says, that's what I like. I mean, you can't ignore that.
No. I would love to hear behind closed doors how this conversation's going.
Just the tone of it?
Just, you know, if they're just like, you know what? We're not budging. I'm not giving this guy another dollar. Or, all right, guys, let's get this worked out. We need him. I mean, they're never going to say that publicly. They're not going to tip their hand either way. But just to get a sense of how they're viewing this, if in fact John was told by his rep he is not going to hold out, and then he turns around and says, well, not coming, mm-hmm. Or is he feeling like, you know what, you intentionally misled
us, why?
Yeah, so I wonder if they're feeling kind of burned on some level, or if they're just chalking it up to, yeah, you know, Earl's, he's prone to being impulsive, and that's not a shock, or I just want to know how they're dealing with it. How are they viewing this? Is it drawing a line in the sand, saying, well, we've been down this road before with another prominent player in Cam Chancellor. We didn't buckle then. We're not buckling now. Or if they view him differently, and him being Earl, saying, yeah, we need him on the field.
Would it be look, we're just speculating, obviously, but...
Yeah, because they're never going to say anything publicly. You're not going to pick up anything.
Would I be creating a false narrative if I were to say, Earl's not here, and Pete's not thinking about it at all because he just wants to move on from all those guys anyway?
I'd say he is thinking about it. I'd say he's most certainly thinking about it, yes.
Just because Earl's that special of a player.
Yeah, he's too, as much as, you know, people, fans are mad at him, which we see a lot of texts, it's kind of like Cano. It's kind of like, well, he's not here, get rid of him, trade him, whatever. I understand the anger, but you've got a segment of the fan base that's like, you know, you need this guy.
Well, Cano, it's not that Cano doesn't want to be here. Look,
right. But just the anger from the fans.
Yeah, he hurt the team, and I understand the anger from the fans, but he wanted to be here, and he was doing that hopefully to help to, you know, improve his ability. With Earl, he doesn't want to be here.
He wants to be here on his terms.
But not badly, right, but he doesn't want to be here badly enough.
Right.
Is the message that the fans are getting from him.
So the commonality between both fan bases is each guy is hurting the team in different ways.
In their own way.
Yeah.
But one guy's being selfish. The other guy was just, trying to...
I don't know what Cano was trying to do.
I know. What's the motivation for taking those things?
Especially at this stage of his career.
Right, where he's already got the money.
It didn't add up to me. It really didn't.
Those two things are not the same. Right. Both players have disappointed their fan base.
Right.
No doubt.
So that's, you know, and you get those hard and fast. Get rid of them. I don't want anything more to do with them. It's not the majority, but we get that on the text. We get it on Twitter. And there are some in there that feel that way about Earl. Like, trade him. He doesn't want to be here. As soon as the Cowboys thing happened, we saw a lot of that. So
what could you get for him now?
Well,
you guys,
no,
I'm sure, talk this to...
Yeah, you don't have any leverage as a team, right? You can, unless somebody gets hurt on another roster, and I said this before, you're never hoping for injury anywhere, especially your team, but of course you're not rooting for anybody to be hurt. Mm-hmm. But if somebody goes down in training camp for another team, another free safety, then maybe you've got some added value to Earl. Right now, Seahawks don't hold the cards in the sense of they can't go in there and go, well, he wants to be here, he's training, but we could be convinced to part with him.
That's what happened with the Sheldon Richardson coming here last year.
Yeah.
There was a hole. They needed to make a trade. Look what the Jets got. There
yeah. You go. So, you know, that's what they need to hope for, because in terms of just, you know, calling up GM saying, hey, what do you give us for Earl right now? They know they're going to give you pennies on the dollar, so to speak. They don't have to offer you a first-round pick, a second-round pick. So they are in the driver's seat in terms of dictating the terms. So, yeah, I don't think the Seahawks are not in a great position at all. And that's the other thing I was saying to Graz is, man, even if they figured out this is untenable, he wants this number, we can only afford this number, and the gap is too big. But let's talk to him and say, listen, just we're going to do our best to give you what you want, get you to another team, but you got to show up. You can't kill our ability to work out a deal for
you. Right, to up your value.
Yeah, we can't sit here and say, well, we're going to take a fifth-round pick for Earl Thomas. We can't do that.
From his, well, we can talk more about it right around the corner here.
Yeah, so they're in a tough spot with Earl, and I'm very, very interested in how this one's going to play out. So he is not here. Now they are all off on their break until training camp, and we'll see if anything happens at all during that time with in regards to Earl Thomas. But coming up, Tyler Lockett was out there speaking with the media as well. We're going to eavesdrop on that conversation next with Bob Graz and Tom.
You're listening to Bob Graz and Tom.
Live from the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming through the 710 Sports app and on 710sports.com.
Bravo Golf Tango. Bravo Golf Tango. The line is in. It's time now for the eavesdrop.
It is the eavesdrop here with Bob Graz and Tom. We do it every day. We take a listen to something somebody said somewhere about stuff. Today that somebody is Tyler Lockett. One of the real nice guys on this team.
He is one of the real
nice
guys.
I mean, so far, they're all nice guys. I haven't talked to a lot of the new guys yet, but everybody that's been on this team for a while and that we've had a chance to speak with, group of great guys out there. And he's about as nice as it gets.
He really is. Now, he's a guy, he's in an interesting position because his career started off here, House of Fire. Great return guy, great wide receiver, could shoulder huge hits, but then he got hurt, and last year production maybe not where you'd hope. And remember, when he got here, the way he was talked about, the most polished receiver we've ever had coming out of college, and they haven't had a ton to show for it in the last couple of, well, last year or so, anyway.
Yeah, I think he's in kind of a prove-it year. Like, all right, I need to take that next step. I need to...
I mean, he's an NFL-level talent.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
There's no doubt about that, but where and how he fits in. Plus, you got a new system here, so hopefully that'll benefit.
I feel like he truly stuck out as a returner his first year because of what they had the year previous, which was nothing.
Nothing.
I mean, I say this all the time, but we were talking about just catch the ball. Don't worry about advancing it. Just catch it.
Yeah, and that was game-changing, Bob. It wasn't just a couple more yards here and there. Those were game-changing returns. Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. So he had an immediate impact when he got here. But he is hoping he takes that next step this season. One of the great guys, as we said, and we have a bit of what he had to say to the media earlier today.
Tyler, how much smoother is this offseason for you?
You say what?
How much smoother is this offseason for you and being able to do all of this stuff right now? And how do you feel it's going?
I think it's going real smooth. I mean, obviously, you know, with the type of situation I was dealing with last year, everybody kind of already knew what it was that I was going to have to deal with. But, you know, the biggest thing that I took from it is you still got to go out there and play, and you got to figure out a way to be able to still be helpful for the team. And that's something that I did. You know, it taught me resilience. It taught me how to keep on fighting. Not everything is going to be good. You're not going to be 100% all the time, but you got to find a way to be able to do what you can to be able to help the team be successful. And so going into this offseason, I mean, I'm looking forward to it. Obviously, you know, I was out here for OTAs, you know, running real good, trying to get back open, get back into the gist of things, learning the offense. But, you know, the biggest thing is I'm more healthy than I've ever been. I'm out there running around catching passes from all the quarterbacks, and I'm excited about this 6 weeks, and then after that, get ready into the season.
Tyler, if you had to put a percentage on it last season in terms of how good you felt compared to how the best you felt, what would you say?
I don't know. I'd probably say about 75-80%, but I mean, it didn't stop me from still going out there and doing my same job, the same role that I was given. Still was getting open against people. So, I mean, the thing is, it doesn't matter how you feel when you go out there. If you go out there, it's time to go. You can't make excuses if you don't get open. You can't make excuses if you don't catch the pass. If you out there, everybody expects you to do the same thing if you wasn't hurt.
You're going into a contract here, obviously. How does that play into it, or does it, in kind of your mind and your mindset?
I mean, obviously, do people think about it? Yeah, you think about it. But, I mean, for me, it's never been about money. Like, for me, it's always been about faith and being able to use this as a platform to be able to show people that you could do both. You could live for God. Some people, you know, back at home, the only way that they could see there's a God is by looking at me in my life and growing up. And so it's like, for me, I mean, all of that stuff is going to come. That's something that I don't worry about. But I'd be lying if I said it was never in, you know, in the back of the mind. But I mean, I just come out here every day and try to get better. You know, I'm thankful for the opportunity that I have to be able to come to the Seahawks, to be able to do both special teams and to be able to play receiver. You know, not too many teams are going to allow you to be able to do that. And like you said, then, like Bobby just said, then, you know, I got my own desk on the third floor. You know, I got people like Brian Payne helping me with poetry, like helping me be the best person that I could be overall. And this is the only place that I've been at, so this is the only place that I could speak of. But for the most part, like, they've given me everything that they said that they will, and I'm trying to do the same.
What do you love about poetry?
I love the thing about poetry, because you can have a one-on-one conversation with somebody in a regular conversation, and they always have their own opinions. They don't want to listen to what it is that you're trying to get across whenever you tell them, like, this is how I see things, or this is my perspective about life or faith or whatever it is you're going through. But when you stand up there and you go on stage, everybody has to listen. They can't say their opinions, because everybody has to be silent when you're on that stage talking. And whatever it is that you're trying to get your point across, whether they disagree with it or whether they agree with it, they can't say how they feel until after they see what it is that you're trying to get across.
How important is kick returning to your kick?
You said how important is it? I mean, that's something I've been doing my whole life. Kick return, punt return, receiver. You know, to me, it's an opportunity. You never know how many times you're going to get the ball on offense, but they still got to kick you the ball. If they're kicking touchbacks, they still got to punch you the ball. So it's different ways to be able to get the ball in your hands, to be able to try to make a play and try to go out there and do things. For me, like I said, it's something that I've been doing my whole life. Even when I was in college, you know, they had me out there doing kick return, punt return, the number one receiver, and I was on punt team. So, I mean, whatever it is that my team wants me to be able to do, I'm going to make sure that I do it, and I'm going to make sure that I'm not going to let my team down.
What do you think of the new rules as a kick return when you look at the changes? Do you think that will have a big impact on
it? No, it didn't change things. I mean, the way that they're telling people to line up, we've already seen how some teams lined up like that in the previous years, and they still did damage in the return game. Obviously, people are going to try to, you know, play around with it, try to find some things to be able to do, but at the same time, I don't think it's going to change too much. I think some coaches are going to try to figure out some stuff. If it doesn't work, they're going to go back to try to kicking it in the end zone. With them not being able to run up 5 yards, I think it gives us a great head start. We don't have to worry about them being on the 20 to 25. They might be on the 32, 35 now. So it gives us more room to be able to work with. And push come to shove, it might turn into another punt return.
There you go. A little bit from Tyler Lockett out there speaking with the media, and still sounds like a great guy.
Yeah, I'd like to hear him do some of the slam poetry he's talking about.
Isn't that how they respond with finger snaps?
To slam poetry?
Yeah.
You're supposed to respond with finger snaps?
Yeah, I saw something in a movie where they were up there doing some poetry, some sort of beatnik thing, and they didn't clap. They snapped their fingers.
Oh, that's interesting. I didn't know that the audience responded in a specific way.
In the movie I saw. Maybe it was just that movie, but it was. I thought, oh, that's how they show approval. They snap their fingers. Somebody will text in to clarify.
What is kick returning? Click, 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 click.
Yeah.
What is a touchdown?
you're in. I like it. I'm giving you my approval right now.
I'd like to see that.
All right, there you go. A bit from Tyler Lockett. Good stuff out here at the VMAC today. We're going to come back. We're going to sum it up next with Bob Gross and Tom.
It's time to sum it up with Bob Gross and Tom. The final word every day on the show of record at 2:45.
Can I give you some quick Mariner news here, Tom?
News? I hope it's good news.
Roster news.
Okay.
They have recalled right-handed pitcher Nick Rumbelow and right-handed pitcher Rob Whalen.
Right.
They have optioned Daniel Vogelback back to AAA, which I think many people forgot he was on the big league roster right now or up with the big team. And they have DFA'd Mike Morin.
To this point, has Vogelback spent more time in the minors or majors, or is it equal?
I would think in the minors.
I think it's been
feels
in the minors,
like in the minors.
Too. It does.
Yeah. I don't know that for a fact, but it feels like he's been in the minors more. But he has been here for a little bit and just not playing. So
right. Well, just going back to our discussion before the year started, we did those over-unders.
I think we all agreed he was going to spend more time in the minors, didn't we?
Yeah, I know I did. I think we all thought it would be close, which it has been. But at the same time,
I still expect him to spend the majority, barring an injury,
right?
He'd spend more time in the minors.
Well, coming out of spring training, I think he played his way onto the team to start the year. I think he earned that. But unfortunately, he didn't do enough to hang on. So
he feels like that classic 4A player. He goes down there and he dominates in the minor leagues. Well, he'll get sent down again, and invariably we're going to see some stats where he hit 3 home runs and drove in 9 this week and hit, 340. And that's awesome, but he gets up here, and he's had periods of extended run, right? It's not like he's in the lineup every single night, but a fair amount.
But maybe only like 4 days in a row, something like that. Has he played more than 4 days in a row at a time? I doubt it. You know what's going to happen here, though, Bob.
What?
In September, this guy's going to be up here, and he's going to hit a couple of meaningful home runs, and they're going to have to find a way to use him to try and, force him into the lineup. You know that's coming with him. Because that's just the way this team is. Everybody contributes. Cano's going to come back. He's going to do something wonderful. They're going to make it a tough decision every day for his service to put this lineup together.
Yeah, I look at May. He played a fair amount of games in May.
Yeah.
I'm looking at his total. Had 53 at-bats in May. Hit 208.
Played more than 15 games?
May and April, excuse me. April and May, hit just a couple of games. March
and
April.
Yeah, you're talking about appearing in games, not necessarily.
I'm just looking at his at-bats. So for the month of April, he had 53 at-bats, 208. Mm. May, he did not play much. He had 6 at-bats.
Okay.
Hit 167.
So it's more time in the minors.
In June, he's not played at all.
Gotcha.
He played one game, excuse me. And he's 1-for-2, so he's hitting .500 for the month of June.
Impressive.
Yeah, he's just a guy. I don't know if he's ever going to be anything. I'm not ready to say, well, get rid of him. He's terrible. I mean, if they get a deal for him, absolutely pull the trigger. But I didn't love that trade when they made it for Montgomery, who contributed to a World Series team in the Cubs. You've gotten nothing out of Vogelback. You got one big home run that off the Hit It Here Cafe, and that was a great moment for us all to talk about. But
it was more about Nelson Cruz, though, and the look that was on his face after he watched it.
Yeah, I mean, he's got power if he connects. Problem is, he just doesn't connect, and he's a defensive liability. So I don't know where he's at on this team if there's no injury. I don't know what role this guy plays.
Quickly, a quote from Pete from the other day that I thought was interesting. He was asked about whether or not this team reminds him of the 2012 squad. Now, the 2012
squad.
You love
those comparisons.
Yeah, well, I don't like them, actually, because they kind of get annoying. Because how many times have we sat out here in the month of August and somebody comes in and say, well, this year feels like we're back to 2013. Feels like that championship atmosphere again.
Mm-hmm.
And every year since then, they've not gotten that result. In fact, it's gotten a little bit worse each year. So Pete talking the other day, he was asked about that. He said, it does feel like that. There was a time when our star players weren't star players yet. They were just coming up, and it was exciting to see that emergence. That's what we're counting on in the next year, seeing these guys start to come to prominence and make a spot for themselves. I get what he's saying. They weren't proven yet coming into 2012. But I feel like at the end of 2011, at least defensively, a couple of those guys, Sherman, Earl, Cam, a couple of them had really come into their own. And that defense was looking good going into 2012. I felt better about that defense going into 2012 than I do about this team right now going into 2018.
Okay.
And just as far as guys that I'm sure about, what I know works.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when you have a quarterback and you know that worked, which they didn't. Well, they had it, but they didn't know they had it at that point. When you've got that, that takes up a lot of space. I understand. But I don't know if I can go there and say this team is ready to make the jump that the 2012 team did. In my opinion, under Pete Carroll, 2012 was the second best team they had.
Outside of the next year.
Right. 2013 best. 2012 second. 2014 pretty darn good too. But
Yeah, I'm not. I'm still of the belief this is a better team than most people are giving them credit for. I know there's a lot of questions concerning the defense. They'll be answered pretty quickly, but I've got some faith in what they've got going on there. And we'll see if it comes back to bite me having that faith.
We're going to debate that all the way through August.
Oh yeah,
you and me.
Yeah. That's all we'll talk about.
I won't die on that hill, though.
Okay.
I'm not, well, you can't die on a hill for 8-8.
How many hills are you on, man?
At least 4 or 5. I'm being shot by both sides.
Oh, man. All right. Duck and cover. That does it for us. I want to thank our guests today, Mike Blowers and Bradley McDougald, for joining us on the program. If you missed any of today's show, you missed a bunch. So go to 710sports.com, click the podcast button, scroll down to our picture and click on that, and you'll find everything you missed waiting for you right there. We're back with you tomorrow right here with Bob Gros and Tom.